how significant do you think it is, the internet, for a musician, and what kind of difference is it going to make?
Let's see, it's a big question. Clearly it's significant. What the significance is probably goes to communication. And the communication is different because the internet is introducing a new language, probably already has done. And that new language is a kind of non-sequential, total immersion language that's closer to the way we think than the way we actually communicate with language right now, which is phonetically through the alphabet and by stringing words together to form word ideas. On the internet, you're in a totally immersed environment, especially if you're in a three-dimensional environment, which is what where the internet's ultimately going to go, this kind of cyber sphere, cyber world. There's a lot of bad movies about it, and a lot of bad books written about it, but it's all more or less true. It's very significant because it's going to change music, change writing, literature, and it is the brave new world that Huxley was talking about.
Is that something that you feel positive about? Is it an exciting and an optimistic thing?
Well, relative terms, there. I mean, there's some notion that, especially among evolutionary thinkers or thinkers who use evolution as an important part of their thinking. Like Stephen Jay Gould, who makes a case that progress is nowhere in evolution, and just because something's different doesn't mean it's necessarily better. I tend to classify ideas in a hierarchy of whether they're good or bad, and somewhere close to the absolute top of the list of what constitutes a good idea is, does this idea in some way eliminate pain and suffering? If it does, then I count it as a very good idea. I think the potential is there in the internet for that to be part of the picture. I also think that it's there in some way to draw us closer to our maker, to whatever the creative force is, whether it's however anyone wants to define it, but I think it has deep religious and profound theological meaning. This new community is going to certainly have its own spiritual set of values, ways of interacting, and the way people treat each other. And I think that there is a potential for that to improve in the cyber world. So I feel positive about it. I feel optimistic about it. But I don't mean that in any sense that I want to have a philosophical argument about that, if you understand my meaning.
Yeah. Thinking about copyright and intellectual property, particularly in the case of musicians, there's a huge debate, as you'll know, raging at the moment. Where do you stand on that?
I don't know how it's going to work. I think the copyrights probably had it. I think intellectual property may have even had it. But I don't think that that's going to take away from us the rights that we have based on our values as individuals, and that something will accrue to us. The fact is, however, that the transaction base of the economy, of the old economy, which is basically a ticket booth, I'll either sell you a service or a good and you'll pay me for that, is now gone away because the traditional gate has come down and there's no ticket to be sold. And Nick Negroponte, who started the Media Lab at MIT, said something I thought was right to the point, which was that there are no locks and keys in the internet, so the people who are going to lose big time are the people who keep trying to fashion the lock and key. I have a feeling the internet's probably something like that, and that there are economic doors and windows that we don't see yet, because we don't really have our eyes into the cybersphere. We don't really know quite how it works, what's there, and when we do, the copyright issue will solve itself, but probably not by being a copyright.
You may have already partly answer this question, how would it have affected your career, do you think? If, I mean, say you were a young musician starting out now, how keen would you be to have your music on the net?
Well, I guess I would be as keen as everybody seems to be. I mean, it seems to be the thing that I've more or less quit writing music, and I don't practice my trade as a musician anymore, so I'm more of a music consumer. But I think if I was, I probably would be very interested in getting it up and going, and I probably wouldn't have any more idea how I was going to get paid for it than these guys do. But just I would know that there's probably some way that it's going to come in, some door that we don't see yet. All of those communications, I mean, put the copyright issue in play, and everyone that I've talked to seems to not worry too much about the copyright issue. It's just like, let's get in there, let's play around, let's see what's going to happen. We're probably all at that stage right now. Something will emerge, I'm just not sure what.
How important, how significant do you think the MP3 system has been in terms of the development of music, the fact that people can share files instead of working in isolation?
Well, it's very important. It's also just passing. I think we're going to see that fold into a larger technology. It's probably even more easily available better fidelity, and it might even carry some solutions to the copyright issue. My sense of it is the copyright issues are going to be solved by a different kind of consumer link, maybe sponsor supported or some sort of such way that's non-intrusive, which the internet facilitates. That will probably make the MP3 just one of the stops along the way. I expect to see the MP3 fade in another 24 months. And that another technology that's like it, another software that's like it, will come along, some compression algorithm, much higher quality, much better, much easier to play, easier to get around.
How is it affecting the music business in terms of the actual record labels? Are they right to be worried?
Yeah, well, it's decimated the record business, and will continue to decimate the record business. But the record business is the old technology. It won't survive unless it adapts. Funny thing. That's what happens.
Have things changed more quickly or more slowly than you might have expected a couple of years back? Visions a couple of years ago would have suggested by the year 2000 everybody would have had anything in the corner of the room that wasn't a television, but it wasn't a computer, and it did everything for you. It communicated and it did all the functions that you needed. That hasn't happened. Has that been faster or slower?
Well, it's I hope you ask everybody that you talk to this question, because it's if we only learned one thing from Einstein, it's that things are relative, and speed is relative. It seems like we're moving. Everybody kind of tries to suss out the speed at which some particular idea will unfold, or come into play, or take over a marketplace, or become useful in some way. That speed is all entirely relative. And to some eyes and minds, it might seem like it's moving at some breathlessly heart-stopping pace. And to others, it might seem, why can't I get this thing to go any faster? And, there probably is only one absolute speed, which is the speed of thought. And if you look at the way at the speed that the Internet developed, I think you continually have to compare it to something else. It's like, well, how fast are we able to use it? Well, not terribly fast. So it's moving at about as fast as we can use it. And on some levels, the development of the Internet and the speed with which it's developing is in terribly, terribly slow. You talk to somebody else who's never been on the Internet, and email seems like rocket science. It's like, you mean all I have to do is type in this and hit this keyboard, and they have it instantly? My God, what happened to the postman? And so to them, it's like they're pulling G's, and to the other person, it's like, how do we get out of here? So what's the bottom line? It's that the Internet's not moving at any speed at all. Speed is irrelevant to the Internet. It's only according to usage. least that's what I think.
Do you think the networks, the American networks, or indeed Hollywood, the entertainment business, if you like, are they ready for what has been described as convergence, the converging media of computer and television production and Hollywood production?
Well, you know, again, we're in a phantom world. There is no industry. There is no Hollywood industry. That doesn't exist. It's a group of people around an idea. And are those people flummoxed? Yeah, they're flummoxed. Do they know what to do next? Well, some of them do and some of them don't. In terms of media and communication, the people that I've talked to are ignorant of this. They're not ready for it. They seem to be bound in some old paradigms and some old models. They're confused by copyright issues, intellectual property issues. It looks from here like the people that are running the conventional media are going to be running the conventional media in another 2 years as well. And will there be a need for conventional media in another 2 years? Probably not. We don't really seem to throw out anything as a culture or as a society or as people. We still have clay pots, and we still make pretty interesting designs on them. And they're really pretty. In fact, you can buy them for, 10p, and you can buy them at 8 million different outlets and so forth is the way the technology's impressed itself. And it's still a clay pot. You still put a flower in it, or you put cookies in it, or whatever it is. Same thing with media. We still have the telegraph. We still have levels of communication with all these tools. We even still have artistic uses for Roman numerals. I don't think television is going to go away. It'll just settle into a place that is probably not as popular, not as used as it is now, and it'll find a different set of uses. We might find out that television has really its best use for watching the children, or watching your driveway, or who knows. I would quickly get out the anvil and hammer and start reforging television if I were in charge of it right now. That's my advice to the guys at the BBC. You need to get back there in the room, pull the thing apart, and see how to repurpose and reapply it right now, because by the time you get it done, you're going to need to have it done. Don't try to think it up in a couple of years. We are down to the point where if you want to stay on the rate of change, you probably have to stop looking at a calendar and start looking at your watch.
Do you believe in the idea of interactive television, which is obviously one model for the future?
Do you mean interactive drama?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's absurd on the face of it. I mean, I have, whatever I think about Shakespeare's writing, I just can't think of a better ending for Hamlet. That was dandy. Romeo and Juliet, that's fine. I'll leave it alone. I don't want to go off and follow one of the characters. I'm just not interested.
Do you think in 20 years' time, if somebody 20 years' time looked back at the technology we're dealing with out of all recognition in 20, I mean, even say 10 years?
I expect so. I expect it'll be just mystifying. It's kind of like when we go back and look at the archaeological digs and we try to figure out what were these people thinking, and it's really not as far back as 10,000 years. Just go back and watch Cary Grant and Mae West and I'm No Angel, and you'll think to yourself, what were they thinking? I mean, they say things and do things that are part of their culture that you just, but yet they were making something up that we probably use today. And if you studied it, you could dig it out. But just sitting there watching it as high, you're just mystified. I think the same thing's going to happen. People look back and they'll look at the internet and they'll say, "You email? What in the world was email? What was mail, by the way? Oh yes, mail was when you delivered a letter. Yeah, mail, electronic mail. How idiotic! Why did they do that when all you needed to do was insert new technology here, and they could have? Well, gosh, I guess that's the way it was. Yes, it'll be." I'm just sure that people are going to look back and wonder what in the world we were doing, just like we do.
Getting back briefly to the music industry, if you had a son or a daughter who was just beginning and they were just starting off and they had the options either to put their music on the internet and get involved with the community of musicians perhaps, or, there was a record company who was potentially saying, yeah, we're interested, which way would you steer them?
If I had a son or a daughter who was involved in the arts right now, I wouldn't deign to give them any advice about what to do with that impulse. because a whole new model is emerging. It may be that what we've done in the past and what I did in the past, which is audition for a record executive or play the music live, will just have no meaning in the future. It also may be that the music itself and the art itself may not have any meaning. There may be no sculpting. There may be sculpting with electrons. We just don't have any idea what it is. What I think we can be sure of is that the art itself, the heart of an artist, is an entirely spiritual force. It exists independent of time. It's always existed for as long as we can plot backwards the existence of humanity, that it will continue to exist, and then what it does is it forces itself upon us, unfolds its own way into the culture and into society, and that we follow it in.